Hello, and welcome to Sodded Geek. I'm Stork, and this is Poker Episode Deuce. And this one, I was going to do something different, but then I got some feedback, specifically from Brent from Home Video Hustle Podcast. Check them out. And he was excited for the new podcast and admittedly knew nothing about poker. So I thought, well, this is a beginner's podcast for poker, so let's really break it down to what you need to know about the game before we move on to more advanced theory and things like that. So, yeah, the game is Texas Hold'em, and I'll be discussing online 6 max micro stakes. So what does all that mean? Well, online, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Although a lot of the things, I mean, most of what we're talking about today will apply to a live game in a casino or a card room. Specifically, the lowest stakes you can play there is $1, $2 blinds. I'll get to that in a minute. But 6 max, that means maximum of 6 seats at the table you play at, the virtual table, if you will. There are things known as ring games, which are 9 seats typically. There's not a lot to be found where I play, so I just focus on 6 max, and things will change based on how many people are in the game, specifically starting hands that you're going to want to play. And again, that's going to be a future podcast. This is we're sticking to basics here. Micro stakes, what does that mean? This is the lowest amount you can play for online, and the lowest would be NL2, which stands for no limit, $2 max buy-in. So the most you can buy in for is 2, and you should be buying in for the max any table you sit at. If you can't, then you shouldn't be sitting at that table. And also, I would suggest turning on, if your site allows this, and I think most do, an auto reload function, which basically means anytime you dip below that maximum before the next hand starts, it'll put you right back at that maximum automatically. So it'll take it out of your total bankroll buy-in deposit, I should say, and it'll just go straight onto the table where you're sitting, and boom. Say you were in a hand and you lost 3 cents. The next hand, you'll be back up to $2 instead of $1.97. Now, why do you want to do this? Well, you always want to have the most in front of you for when you do get a good hand and you can double up, which basically it's no limit, so you can bet any amount. And you sometimes will bet all of it, and hopefully you'll have the better hand when that happens and get all that money back. So you definitely want to have as much as you can for those situations. Other stakes, the next one would be NL5, which would be a $5 buy-in. So it kind of, after that, I believe is NL10, $10 max buy-in. So it's, yeah, it just progresses that way. And I think once you get out of micro stakes, you move on to what's called small stakes, and that might not be until NL200. So you're buying it for $200. So I think that's the differentiation mark, and there is a good reason to know that, and I'll address that again in a future podcast. But this is just the basics. You're going to want to start at NL2 just to get your feet wet, especially beginners. There's no sense in playing for more money than you have to when you don't know what you're doing yet. So it'll save you money in the long run. Once you get good at that, you move up. Once your bankroll gets bigger, you move up. Now, I did mention 6 seats at the table. Let's discuss that next. We'll start with the button. This is the person. They'll have a little white circle with a B in front of them on the screen, and they're basically acting as the dealer. Now, the cards are dealt automatically, of course, by an unseen dealer, but they are, for all intents and purposes, acting as the dealer. And this is the best position on the table. Position is big in poker. Again, I'll touch on that in a later episode. You're always the last to act on the subsequent streets, the flop, the turn, and the river, and I'll get to that in a minute. So being last to act is a big advantage. So that's why the best position is the button. After the button, to the immediate left, you have the two blinds. And the blinds are just forced bets, basically to get the action flowing. If you've played poker with an ante, it's similar to that, except not everybody puts in, just the 2 seats left of the button. And this is, yeah, like I said, it's just to have money in there to get people to actually play. Otherwise, people would probably be more quick to fold, especially if you didn't have to put anything in. You could fold and wait for big hands. You can't do that when these buttons, when the, excuse me, the blinds are moving around and you're forced to put money in, you have to defend that or you're just going to get eaten alive by them. Now, the small blind would be the first one. They're the immediate left of the button. And they put in usually half as much as the big blind, who is to their immediate left. The big blind puts in 1% of the max buy-in. I think that's typical. So in your NL2 game, where your buy-in is $2, 1% of that would be 2 cents. So that's what they put in. And the small blind, half that, puts in 1 cent. So it's button, small blind, big blind. Now, in a game like NL5 that I mentioned, the big blind would put in 1% of $5, 5 cents. The small blind would put in 2 cents because you're not splitting 5 cents halfway into 2.5 cents. It doesn't make sense. They just put in 2. So something to keep in mind whenever there's a odd number involved in your buy-in. But usually I think NL5 might be the last time that that situation occurs. So after the blinds and first to act pre-flop, and another term I'll get to in a bit, is early position, EP, or LoJack, LJ. I usually use the term LoJack, so that's what I'll be using moving forward. They act first before the flop, like I said, and they're left of the big blind. Then you have the hijack, which is left of the LoJack, or sometimes referred to as middle position, MP, but I prefer HJ, hijack. And last, cutoff, CO is how it's abbreviated. Small blind, SB, big blind, BB. I didn't mention that. Button, usually BTN. Once I get into, I might do a diagram here too. Something to look into the Patreon for, patreon.com/besotted geek. You can join for free. This tier I have, you pay $1 and you get these episodes a day early, but you don't have to do that. You join for free. You wait until it's already on the main feed. And you can come and check it out. You could listen to it here the next day for free. And this is where I can post images and things like that, links sometimes. So that's a good reason to join. Again, you can join for free and not pay a thing. These episodes will eventually, after a day, after 24 hours, they'll be listenable to on the Patreon, just like on whatever podcast app you use. But with the added benefit, I can do more in the text of the post on Patreon than I can putting it out on Apple or whatever, including pictures. Like I said, I guess I could do some links too, but I'm probably going to focus on pictures for a lot of this. So just something to think of. Anyway, the cutoff, left of the LoJack and right of the button where we started. So once again, button, small blind, which puts in half of what the big blind puts in as an ante, then big blind, LoJack, hijack, cutoff, back to the button. So that's your circle around the table. Let's move on to the actual dealing of the cards, betting, and the rounds. So first off, everyone gets 2 cards face down, starting with a small blind, moving around the table. And we have a round of betting based on just those 2 cards, starting with the person left of the 2 blinds. Since they already have money committed, the person next to act would be the person who doesn't. And that would be, if you're playing along at home, that's right, the LoJack. Good call. LoJack has 3 options. The worst being calling, just calling the 2-cent blind, called limping into the pot. This is something you should never, ever do. There might be, no, I'm going to say just don't do it. Honestly, if you're entering a pot, you should be raising at this stage. They can also fold, and that's preferable to calling, honestly. And like I mentioned, you can raise. So when you raise, it has to be at least double the big blind and any other bet that gets made subsequently. If you want to raise, you have to at least double it. But this being no limit, you can bet as much as you have remaining in front of you. So there's no limit basically on how high you can bet. You could raise everything. And again, this is why you want to have that auto load feature on, if you can do it. So you have that opportunity, because it's an advantage to be able to put in as much as you can when you have a good hand. So after LoJack, play goes to the next one, hijack, who can, again, fold, call, or raise. At this point, it might be higher if the LoJack raised it, and not just the 2 cents calling of the big blind, which you shouldn't do. But at this point, if it was raised, calling becomes an option. it's not just throwing in money without seeming like you're committed to it. That's what limping does. It makes you appear weak. You're just putting money in, hoping to see a flop because your hand isn't that good. If you're calling a raise, there's a saying that you have to have better hand to call with than to raise with, and that's true a lot of the time. People will raise things trying to steal blinds, steal the pot, but when you don't know that, so they could actually have a hand, so you have to have something good to call with at that point. Whereas if you're just calling the big blind, you don't know what the hell they have. They even had a chance to act yet. All they've done is put in money without even looking at their cards. So after hijack, we got cut off, and then the button, and they get the same options, and then the small blind, who at the very minimum has to match the big blind if the pot hasn't been raised yet. So they're in for a cent, and big blind's 2 cents, remember that. If no one's raised and they want to continue, they have to at least put in 1 cent. But again, I wouldn't recommend this if you're in the small blind. It's just akin to limping again. You're going to either want to raise or just fold and save yourself the 1 cent. I know it's 1 cent, but as you progress in money, it's going to be more and more and more. You should just get in the habit of not throwing away money. If you don't have a good hand, just don't bother. And finally, the big blind, who actually has an advantage in position on this first round. I said that the button has the positional advantage, but it's not until after this round. And a lot is put on that. I'm going to skip this. This is a discussion for another day. Position, that's one of my 5 P's of poker, so I'll save it for that. Just keep in mind that big blind does get to act last pre-flop, and from then on out, button acts last. So small advantage for big blind right at the beginning, and then big advantage for button moving forward. So again, the big blind now has the opportunity to pass, or as we call it in poker, check. And that's a viable thing. It's not like limping. They already have 2 cents in. If it wasn't raised, they can just check. Or they can raise. They don't have to fold unless it got raised. And then they'd have to call more, or fold, or raise. Okay, does that make sense? All right, so anyway, after everyone is called or folded, we head to the flop, which consists of putting 3 cards face up in the middle of the table, and these are shared by all remaining players. And the goal is to make your best 5-card poker hand, and I'll go through those in a minute. Then, after another round of betting, starting with the person to the left of the button, whoever's in, you go to what's called the turn, or 4th street sometimes. It's called that, but I usually go by turn, where we do another revealed card, which is 1 this time. Another round of betting. Again, person left of the button acts first, so button acts last. Again, showing you the positional advantage there. Any remaining players after this round, go see the final shared card on the river or 5th street. And one more round of betting. If there's more than one player left at this point, you show your hands and best hand wins the pot. And that's that. So basically, you have your pre-flop action where you're betting on 2 cards. Your flop reveals 3. Your turn reveals 1, your river reveals 1, and you're using all 7 cards to make your best hand. And let's get into that right now. And you really need to know this by heart before you proceed any further with poker, and it's pretty easy to learn. So your worst to first ranking of hands, of course, no pair. You take the 5 highest cards on the board and in your hand, even if all 5 are in the middle, that's legitimate. You can use all 5 cards. You don't have to use a combination. You're just best 5 of 7 cards. So, yeah, no pair. High card would beat another no pair with a lower high card. So, like a king high, 5 cards would beat a jack high of 5 cards if neither person had a pair. Then you've got 1 pair, which are 2 cards matching in rank, like 10-10. And of course, 2 10s would be 2 8s or 9s or anywhere down to 2s and lose 2 jacks, queens, kings, and aces. Then you have 2 pair, which are 2 cards of 1 rank and 2 cards of another rank, like 9-9, 3-3, for example. And the higher of the 2 pair, the 9s would play against the highest of another 2 pair to see who wins. So if it was 9-9, 3-3, like in my example, they would beat 4-4, 2-2. Or like even 6-6, 4-4, even though both those pairs are higher than the 3s, the highest pair plays. So the 9s would beat the 6s in that situation, if that makes sense. 3 of a kind is next, also known as trips. And that's just 3 cards of 1 rank, like king, 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 3 kings. And yeah, I suppose it's possible to have both people have a set of kings. If one person had a whole, if two people had a whole card of a king and then two kings came on the board, you would go to your next high card. And if those were still tied, you'd go to your next high card to see who wins. And if those are still tied, you do end up with split pots sometimes in poker and hold'em. Typically on boards that have a full straight, like a straight or things like that, which is the next highest rank. Five cards in sequence of rank, such as ace, two, three, four, five, or 10, jack, queen, king, ace. Those are coincidentally the highest and lowest, ace through five being lowest possible straight, 10 through ace being highest. No wraparounds. Keep that in mind. No such thing as a queen, king, ace, two, three straight. Ace is always, it's either high or low when it comes to a straight. It cannot be in the middle. So definitely keep that in mind. The highest card in the straight determines its strength against another straight. So even in the situation of ace, two, three, four, five against something like three, four, five, six, seven, the three, four, five, six, seven is higher, even though you have an ace in your hand, but remember it's low in that case. So the seven is higher than the five. Next, we have a flush, and this is five cards of the same suit. That would be such as a jack, eight, five, three, two of clubs, or diamonds, or hearts, or spades, whatever. And in this, the highest card in that flush determines how high the flush is. So that would be a jack high flush. It would lose to a queen high flush, but beat a 10 high flush, and so on and so forth. And next up, we've got the full house, very powerful hand. Three cards of one rank and two cards of another, such as 7-7-7-4-4. It's basically trips in one pair. And the rank of the highest trips determines the winner if it's full house against full house. If that's tied, which we've seen can be, then you go to the second pair, the pair, I should say. And the higher of those would determine the winner. So in that situation, 7-7-7-4-4 would lose to 10-10-10-2-2. But 7-7-7-4-4 would beat 7-7-7-3-3. So keep that in mind. Four of a kind. Four cards of the same rank. Pretty easy. Jack, 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 jack. Four jacks. In the rare case of two players having four of a kind, the higher ranked one would win. So four jacks would beat four eights, say. It's possible. It's also possible. No, it's not possible for both people to have quads of the same rank, so don't even worry about that. Actually, it would be. If four jacks were on the board, that would be your highest hand, I'm sure. And then the fifth card would play. So whoever had the highest fifth card would win, which also could be shared if, like, say, an ace was on the board. Nobody had. Even if somebody did have an ace, you're still playing four jacks with one other card. So that would just split the pot. And finally, the highest hand in poker, the straight flush, five cards in sequence and of the same suit, such as 4-5-6-7-8 of diamonds. Now, the highest straight flush would be ace, king, queen, jack, 10 of a suit, and that is the royal flush. That is the best, the very top hand in hold'em. And another, I'm just going to remind again, it's your best five cards. Again, this is really important when thinking about ties, where a higher kicker can mean the difference between winning and losing, which is why you want to start with a good range pre-flop. That's very important to have a good range of what you play pre-flop, something I'll get into on another episode, one of my five P's of poker. Yeah, so this is pretty much the basics of online six max hold'em. A lot still apply to a full ring game. A lot still apply to other forms of poker, live games. I guess this is just to help the noobs and maybe a refresher for people who've played poker before but haven't played hold'em or haven't played in a long time or whatever. And I think next time I was planning on moving on to the five P's, but I thought, well, let's talk about signing up for an online site and everything that goes into that, because it's not as cut and dry as you would think. So that will be the next episode. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at BesottedGeekPod, email the show BesottedGeek@gmail.com, check out our website BesottedGeek.com. While it's still running, I am moving a lot over to patreon.com/besottedgeek, even website stuff. I think I'm going to focus on just putting everything on the Patreon, because I can, like I said, now that they have this free joining thing, that it kind of makes sense to have everything in one spot to me. You can buy some merch at tpublic.com/user/besottedgeek. You can, again, patreon.com/episodegeek to support the show. We have a lot of other shows on there. We do a monthly movie episode. The last one was 5 hours about. Early access to every show that comes out on the main free feed. Some comic and manga shows, if that's your thing. And this show in the brews and booze, or whatever I'm calling that, the alcohol show I'm doing now. Also, I am streaming video games at twitch.tv/besottedgeek. Currently, Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. But that is it. Thanks for listening, and good luck.